Good morning, everybody. I want to thank everybody, Jonathan, again, for giving me the opportunity to speak with this distinguished crowd. And the topic of today's lecture, as you can see from the outline, is I know of Devarim, words that harm, words that heal. And it's very apropos to speak about this subject during the days of Sfira, when we try to improve our relationship in Bnei Adam L'Chaverei, and we'll see how we can do it by being careful with I know of Devarim. You follow along with the outlines that's on the side, and the Smara we'll speak about in a second, about what that refers to. When we speak about the prohibition regarding speech, so the first thing that comes to our mind is the Isra of Lashon Hara, which we have every day here, Shir Lashon Hara. We have Svarim Lashon Hara, we have the Chofetz Chaim Harris Foundation. There are many, many, many organizations that are disseminating the Isra of Lashon Hara, and there's a lot of material available on it. However, there's another area of forbidden speech, which is a Noah Savarim, that encompasses a wide variety of areas that many of us are not familiar with. And today's shiur, I'd like to give some of the basic halakha of a Noah Savarim to familiarize ourselves with such an important concept, especially it's last week's Parsha Bahar, which is the makor of a Noah Savarim. It says, Lo'sonu ish es hamise v'yoreitem elekecha. What does Lo'sonu mean? So Rashi says Lo'sonu means to aggrieve. In other words, to say words that can hurt another people's feelings, cause them pain, or cause them anguish. And Rashi ends off, Kan his here, al oinos devarim. This is the Yisro of oinos devarim from last week's Parsha Mahar of Leitzenu Isha Tamiso. Now, although when we say oinos devarim, we say the word devarim, which it seems to apply that it's the dibur, but from Ben Yoin and Shari Tshuva, it's evident that the Yisro applies even if it's not through dibur. Ben Yoin writes, Hamitzayer kol ish. You cause tzar to anybody, you're over oinos devarim. So it doesn't have to be dafku dibur. And the Chofetz Chaim writes at the end of the Sefer, Chovetz HaShmira, he says, even a gesture, pointing to somebody, without saying a word, and the person feels bad. Or even in writing, you write a letter to somebody, or a note to a co-worker, and at the end you sign, you know, you did a great job today, great, you know, with yellow or something, and the person knows what you mean. You're trying to give a sarcastic remark, you didn't say anything. You wrote something, or you wrote a note to your wife, something that she didn't do properly, and you hurt her feelings, it's also an issur of oinos devarim. Now there's an interesting Yerayim, the Sefer Yerayim from Rebbe Elazar Mimetz. He has a Sefer on the Taryag Mitzvot, and in the midst of Einos Devarim, he says that Einos Devarim applies even if you cause somebody else to be sad with a sad facial expression. You walk around sad, you make other people sad, it's also a prohibition of Einos Devarim. There's a famous story told by Rabbi Saul Salanta that he was once walking in the street, and he approached the Yid, and he saw he wasn't happy. Looked like he was a little bit depressed. He went over to the Yid and said, Rabbi Yid, he says, is everything okay with you? He says, Baruch Hashem. He says, you have good parnasa? Baruch Hashem, echad parnasa. How's your shalom bayis? Baruch Hashem is great. And your children? Ah, asach nachas. So he says, if you have parnasa, you have shalom bayis, and you have parnasa, nachas, so why are you so sad? So the Yid turned to the Rabbi Yisrael and he said, Rabbi, don't you know what today is? Today is the Seretz Yimei Tshuva. Next week is Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, I don't know what my din is going to be next week, next year. Shem is going to sign my din for next year. So that's why I'm worried. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta turns to him and says, and Shulduk Rabbi, why do I have to suffer because of your Yom HaDin? Right? So why do you have to make me sad because of your worry about Yom HaDin? Rabbi Olba's father-in-law was Avram Gadzinski, the last Mashiach and Sabbatka in the ghetto. And Rav Olba writes about him that he worked for 2 years on the midah of having Mekabalas Kol Olam Mesev Upon Yavois, that even in the dark days of the ghetto, when people did not know if they would live another day, another week, another month, he walked around trying to make people happy with the Sefer Parim Yavois. When I was a child, there was a famous song that went around in the States called When You Smile, The Whole World Smiles At You. And the opposite is true also. When a person is sad, he makes other people sad too. And today, there's a tremendous mitzvah to make people happy. If anybody observes how people walk in the streets, you think it'd be easier now. We have the high tech, all these devices now where you can call people, you can communicate with people, have the luxuries, we have all the conveniences today, but people today are walking around sad, they're a little bit depressed, they're full of anxiety. Go over and give them a smile, and then you'll cheer them up. And that's what this whole thing is. I made a copy of it, but I see it's happening for me. You can cut it out, paste it on your refrigerator. Remind yourself all the time, you should give the people a smile. And the last line is most important, that some people are too tired to give you a smile, So give them one of yours, because none needs a smile so much as he who has none to give. A person can't give you a smile, that means you have to cheer the person up. The story told of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that once in Muncie, one of the institutions needed to extend the building. They had to apply for a permit. And the board of the Muncie, of the government there, the county, whatever it was, wasn't that friendly to the Yidden, and it was very difficult to get any type of permit for anything. So he decided to send one of the big Askanim in the community, one of the big Ashirim, to see if he can, what they call protexia, see if he can get a permit for the building. So he went into the person's office, and he said, "Sir, what can I do for you?" So he says, "Well, we're trying to extend our building. If I want to apply for a permit," he looked at the plan, so everything was in order, signed it right away in 2 minutes. And the man was surprised. He was appalled of it. How could such a thing be? This person gives everybody trouble, and here he went right away and signed it in a few minutes. So he asked him afterwards, can he explain to me, you know, how come he didn't even, review the plans properly, just looked at it, and you signed it? They said, "I'll tell you why." He says, "I have a mother who's very sick in an old age home." She's in an old age home in Muncie, and she's very sad. She's always depressed. You know, she knows it's coming towards the end, that she can't move. She's not mobile anymore. It's very difficult on her. All of a sudden, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I noticed that she was very happy. And then when I visit her every day in the morning, she's always happy, she's smiling, and she's in a good mood. And I asked her, "What happened? What cheered you up? Did you take any medication?" She says, "No." She says, "Every morning I sit out on the porch, and I look out to get some fresh air, and all of a sudden this old rabbi walks by with a long coat and a white beard, and you know, this black hat, which is Rabbi Yaakov," and she didn't know who he was, Rabbi Yaakov, "and he said, he gives me a smile, says, 'Good morning, you know, Mrs., how is your day? Have a good day.' And that makes my whole day." So he said that if your rabbi can make my mother happy, it's worth to give you the permit. I don't have to examine all the records. So we see how much giving a smile can work wonders with other people. Now, it says in Chazal about greeting somebody, "Havi makabel kol adam b'sever panim yafais." So the question comes about, panim yafais, you know what it means. It means a nice expression. What does sever mean? Sever, probably, what does sever, svara. So the Me'iri says an interesting shot. The Me'iri says shot that sever comes to lashna sover, to think. He says, even if you're not happy to see the person, he came in, oh, he's here again, person knocking on the door again, show that you're happy, right? Your wife comes to ask you about the fourth or fifth time, to ask something, oh, here she comes again with another request. Show that you're happy to see them. When you come home, you came home from a very, very, very tense day, full of anxieties in the office. Whether you tried to go to the bank that day, you came to the bank at 4:30 and a half a minute late, and they closed the door, and you had to make a payment that day, and now you don't know what's going to be the next day. You missed the bank by half a minute. You got stuck in traffic, and you come home as oy kival. You walk in, so try and put on a smile. The Kabbalists call all them the savior, part of your office, to go to the women, for your wives, for your children. If you don't know what it could mean to an evening, change a whole evening by coming home happy. Now, some people say it's very difficult. After all, it's easy to say over here, right in the morning, you just start your day, but after the day is finished, how do we greet someone, savior, part of your office? It's very simple how to greet yourself, savior, part of your office. Firstly, you have to make sure that you don't come home starving and thirsty. Very important. Never come home from work when you're very hungry, and the first thing that's on your mind is the food ready, or could I have something to eat, right? Although they say the way to the man's mind is through his stomach, an old expression, but the ma'isa, a person should come home that way. If a person is very hungry, go to one of these snack bars, get one of these energy bars, a granola bar, put it in your stomach, at least you have something there, but not to come home starving, waiting for the food. Secondly, not to come home looking at your emails, looking at the mail, looking at whatever it is. First thing you come home is to greet your wife with a smile. "Hi, how are you? How was your day?" You say, "It's still hard. It's easier said than done." Well, let's make a foundation. We'll make a smile foundation here in London. And for anybody who can sign up and give a smile every day, they'll get £10. £10 just to come home and give a 5-second smile to your wife. At the end of the day, you get £70. End of the week, £70. Right, at the end of the month, you get close to £300 just to putting on a smile. I guarantee everybody would sign up, and they get their money, £300 a month, just for smiling. Easy money earned. But the answer to that is because money talks. Right? You get money, you get talks. Not a lot of money, £10, but it adds up at the end of the month. So therefore, if a person, when trying to show that if a person is motivated to do something, they can really do it. And you promise your work some wonders to come home and give your wife a smile, come to the office, give the people a smile, no matter how tense it is. You see that people can give other people smiles. You would never go on an airplane and see a steward or a stewardess not greeting you with a smile. You never go into an office receptionist and they say, "Yes, how can I help you?" She could have gone through a terrible time with her husband or with the children that day, you can never know, but she's always smiling because they pay to smile. They have to smile. Under any circumstances, they must smile. Now, of course, it's all false smiles, because you go after the flight is over, nobody's smiling at you, they don't even know you exist. try it once. They try it a few times. Try to get the sources before they, as they're going on the plane. They don't even look. They don't even know you exist. Hello, how are you? They just keep going. After the plane goes, they say hello, nothing. When you're on the plane, they're paid to do it. They have to smile. So that's the secret of it. When a person is motivated, then they can do it. I just want to give some examples of a Noah Tavorim that apply the day-to-day basis. First of all, it's prohibited, I'm not going to go through the whole list because the whole shiur is an hour shiur, so I'm just going to condense it, to remind somebody of their past misdeeds. In other words, if you know somebody wasn't so frum before, they became a little bit more frum, right, whether it's in Hilcha Shabbos, or somebody was a little bit of an alcoholic, or he was a compulsive eater, and you say, you know, I remember, like, just a year ago, you used to drink a lot. Every time I went to a simcha, like, everybody knew you used to drink up a half a bottle of Baruch Hashem, right? You're able to control yourself now. That's an Isra of Einoz Tavar. To remind somebody of past misdeeds, it's a Mishnah, it's a Gemara, I think, or a Mishnah, it's after Baruch Mitzvah, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch. And it goes to anything, any bad meat that a person may have had, they improve themselves, if remind themselves of it, it's an Isra of Einoz Tavar. And this also applies to many times you get into a disagreement with your wife. You make up, you michael each other, fine. 2 months later, something else happens, and you bring it back. You know, I remember 2 months ago you did the same thing. That's also in Noach Tavar. It's a state in the Rambam. That if you remind somebody of something that they did previously, and when you michael them already, you bring it up again, you're hurting their feelings. So you see the parameters of how in Noach Tavar branches out to many different areas that we're not aware of, that when you hurt somebody's feelings, you already run into the area of in Noach Tavar. Also, sometimes, which is related to this, is people get curious about other people's lives. You know, what are you doing and where do you come from doing that? They may have an embarrassing situation. And this comes especially when we invite Bali Tshuva to our home. Today, people are into Kirov, they invite Bali Tshuva to the home. So people are very interested, how do they become pro? What's their past? Some of them have interesting past, they're willing to tell you. Some of them have embarrassing past. Some of them, maybe the father's not even Jewish, they don't want to say anything. Maybe they were on drugs, who knows where they were? Came from India, came from Hinduism, who knows where they came? They don't want to speak about it. So they ask somebody about curiosity, they ask them about their past, it's the wrong thing to do, because you may hurt their feelings. And that's why, by the way, where the minute comes from, when a chassan speaks, or a bar mitzvah boy speaks, we hakarayim the minute, we don't let them speak. Why? Shalom levayish es misha ein loy. Sometimes not everybody can speak, not everybody is a speaker. So therefore, we don't let anybody speak. And it's also wrong to ask somebody to speak if he's not prepared. Let's say you have a little get together and you want somebody to speak. So you go over to your friend, you have a few words to say, he's not prepared, but he feels bad. So you have to be careful before you say such a thing, make sure you don't hurt the other person's feeling. Now another interesting aspect of Anos Tavarim is that it applies even if it's unintentional. If you didn't have Kavanah to do it. This is what the Chafetz Chaim learns out from Ramban. At the end of Parashas Vayelechah, that when Aaron, Miriam spoke at Moshe Rabbeinu, it was unintentional. Therefore, we see if he spoke Lashon Hara unintentional, it's usher. Didn't have intention to be invited to Moshe Rabbeinu. And similarly with Einoz Tavarim. The story told of Moshe Feinstein that he was once walking by a school, and it was during the break, and the children were playing in the yard of the school, and he sees his grandchild there. So he goes over to his grandchild, and he kisses his grandchild. After he kissed his grandchild, he went over to his grandchild's friend and kissed him also, so he shouldn't feel bad. He realized that he may embarrass his friend because the friend was never much as a Zayda. So he went over to his aunt and kissed him, and then he kissed his grandchild's friend. He didn't want even inadvertently hurt the other child's feelings. And this brings us to another part of Einoz Tavarim, that Einoz Tavarim applies even to Ktanim, the small children. People think a child, good, he's hurt his feelings, but it applies to small children, even your own children, if it's unnecessary, it's not the chinuch, which is, you know, you have to be really sure it's the chinuch or not. If a person hurts a child's feelings, a cotton's feelings, it is very not tavarim. And this brings us to the famous word, the cycle rav, that once the cycle rav came to a bar mitzvah, and unexpectedly, he was uninvited, he sat down next to the bar mitzvah boy, he whispered something into his ear, he gave him a sefer, and then he walked out. So of course the family was very, you know, delighted and very honored that the Tzaddik Rav came to their simcha, gave him a sefer with his own handwriting, his ktav yad in it. But Lemaisi was an old person, it was very hard to walk, and why did he have to take out from his precious time to go visit somebody who he doesn't know? So the curious father went over to the sefer and he asked Rebbe, he says, "We're very honored to have you here, but what brought you here to our simcha? We come out, we don't even know you." So he says, "It's very simple, I'll tell you why." He says, "Many years ago, your son was davening in Armenian during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And in the middle of davening, there were children that were making noise. And they asked me to go out to make some order there. So I walked out, and the children who are running around making noise ran away, and your son was sitting there looking at a sefer. And I looked at him and said, please don't make any noise. You know, we're davening here. So your son told me, he turned red in the face, said, but Rebbe, he said, I wasn't making noise, I'm just looking at a sefer. It was the other boys that were making noise. And he realized that he embarrassed the boy for no reason at all. So what he did at that time was he asked for the boy's name, he asked him for his dress, he wanted to know when his birthday was. So on the day of the bar mitzvah, he'd go over and ask for mechila, he should waste one day for that. Because a cotton cannot be meichel. He has to wait till it becomes a gadol. So that's what he whispered in the boy's ear. He asked the boy, please, he'd be meichel for that time, I embarrassed you in shul a few years ago. Maybe the boy didn't even remember it, but he wanted to make sure he got mechila. So that's the severity of dealing with ketanim and how much we have to be careful, even inadvertently, not to hurt the feelings. And we have to realize that also that in Hos Devorim is a little bit different than what it says in Pirkei Avos, Malva v'nei chaver merabin. Because merabin means there are three people there, you and somebody else. So then there's an issa Malva v'nei chaver merabin, ein lo chayek v'olam habo, as I state in the Mishnah. But if in the privacy of your home, with you and your wife, you and your child, you and your work, there's nobody else there, and you say a statement that nobody else hears except you and the four walls, that's the issa of Hos Devorim. You have to be very careful with it. People just throw out words as if it means nothing, and it hurts other people's feelings. We say in Al-Chayt on Yom Kippur, Al-Chayt Shechotan Lufanecha Bevitui Svasayim, with the uttering of our lips. What is this verb uttering of our lips referring to? So in the Siddur HaGrua, he tells to a pasuk in Mishnah, states as I. He says, Yesh Baite Kemat Keirais Choref, that people speak, and it's like a piercing sword. It's a sword. When you speak sometimes, you give a person a shtach. So a sword doesn't need kayak. It's so sharp, it puts a person's skin, like you go to the butcher, you see the butcher's knife, they just touch the meat, it goes right through. Same thing with a Miles knife, the same thing, it's very sharp. So a sword, yesh boite, people can speak and give somebody a shtach, and it pierces themselves, it goes deep down into them. Rabbi Moshe Stern used to say the mouth is like a loaded gun. The person has a gun with a bullet inside of it, he can shoot the bullet and it can be harmless. Shoot it in the air, shoot it in the ground, shoot it at a target at a firing range, nothing will happen. But if he's standing in front of a crowd and he has the gun in front of him and he accidentally pushes the button, says, oops, the bullet went out, he can't take it back anymore. Once the bullet goes out, anything that's in his path is going to hit. He says, that's the way the person's mouth is. Until a person says something, until he opens his mouth, he's in complete control of what he says. But once the damaging words are done, he sells to his wife, to his child, to his old worker, it doesn't make a difference, then he has to pay the consequences of a chila or whatever it is. That's why we have to be very careful what we speak. And this is an interesting part of Rav Pam. Rav Pam says, in Parsha Shmini, so it deals with the Macholos Yisurais, the Behemais, the Chayas, the Oifais, all the Shvatim that are mutter and also to eat. And Parsha Shmini, it's right next to Parsha Mitzayra. What is Mitzayra? Why does a person become a Mitzayra? So Chazal say the prime of Eris for Lashon Hara, well, plus other Eris. So we have Macholos Yisurais together with the Yisur of Lashon Hara. So he says, what's the Tushtel? What are they both together? So he says, just like we have to be careful what goes in our mouth. In other words, when we go to came to the fear of a distant relative who was very modern, but he said he ordered kosher food for you, you want to know what the hechsher is. When you send your child to shul, there's an old person giving out candy, you don't know what type of candy it is, you want to make sure he has the right hechsher on it. So people are careful what goes in their mouth, they also have to be careful what goes out of their mouth, what they say. The other way around also. And that's why Parshas Tazria comes right after Parshas Shemini. Now, another aspect of Einos Devarim is appreciating. And first of all, before we get to that, we have to be especially careful with unfortunate person. So it says in Parshas Mishpatim, "Kol Amona v'Yosaim lo Sanon." Don't cause pain to Amona and Yosaim because they're unfortunate. They lost their husband. They lost their father. But Rashi says, is the law applies to anybody who's in an unfortunate situation. A person is going through hard times in Shalom Bayis, with Chinuch Habonim, a child has someone going up the Derech, or a person is having difficulty in Parnasa, you have to be super careful with their feelings because they're much more sensitive. So therefore, before we have to be careful, we know somebody's going through a hard time, speak in a different way to them. Now another area which applies especially in marriage of Einos Devorim is how to appreciate properly. Your wife purchases you something, or she makes you a nice dish and she worked very hard on it, and you taste it and you look at it and you say, it's okay. That means, right, that oomph, or say it's okay, but, right, it already says a sign that it wasn't exactly what you want. And we have to realize that the satisfaction of the giver is proportioned to how the receiver receives it. So we know that sometimes men have much difficulty in showing appreciation, because the scientific studies have shown that men have difficulty in expressing their emotions than women. It's much more difficult, because the way the brain is made up, they map the man's and the woman's brain, different colors, and they found out that men have difficulty in expressing their emotions more than women, because the way it works dynamically is that the verbal side of the brain is much more, is not so much connected to the emotional side as with a woman. They call them in medical terms neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters are things that go from the different cells of the brain, and they found out that the neurotransmitters from a man's brain to the emotional side, to the verbal side, is not as much as a woman. So therefore a man can find difficulty in expressing his emotions. A very simple example: if you want to make your wife happy on Shabbos, so one easy way is just to buy a bouquet of flowers. You go to the corner, you know the color, the type she likes, you put it together. 2 minutes you have a bouquet, it's wrapped in plastic, you give it to her. Very nice. But ask the man to write a note of appreciation, how much he appreciates his wife. He'll sit there for a half hour with the Gemara cup trying to figure out what to write, how he should dress, and what he should say. It's difficult. It's difficult to express his emotions to his wife, which is very true. So therefore, we have to be on guard that when the wife makes something, to be there to make sure to show appreciation that it's good. The story, so Rabbi Aaron Feldman told a story in the Sefer River Kettle and Bird about his, one of his Rebbeim, that once after Sheva Brachis, so when they sat down for the first meal after the wedding, so his wife burnt potatoes. He served them the main dish. The potatoes were burnt. And he didn't know what to say. He thought it's the first meal after Sheva Brachis, he's going to embarrass her. So she asked him, how did you like the food? He said it was delicious, gewaldig. So the wife thought that the husband likes burnt potatoes. So what she did was serve burnt potatoes in every meal. And he didn't know what to say anymore. Finally, after a few days, he told his wife, you know, I'm getting a little bit tired of the burnt potatoes. Maybe we can change the side dish. But he didn't once tell her that it was no good, that it was burnt. Didn't want to hurt her feelings. Because we can never tell how much time and energy she went into preparing any dish, preparing it, or trying to, during the week, to practice to try and prepare a good cake or a good chicken recipe or whatever it is, a good side dish, while you're not home. And then she throws that at us. You don't see the evidence. And she's practicing. Finally, Shabbos comes, and you taste and says, missing a little bit of salt, missing this, missing that. It really takes away her satisfaction. Now, the other way around also, there's an interesting story, a true story that I once heard of a man who purchased a birthday present for his wife. He purchased a blouse for his wife. He wanted to buy something for her birthday, went to a shop, and he purchased a very nice blouse. Comes home, shows the wife the blouse, not to her taste. Doesn't know what to do. So she came to one of my shiurim, quote unquote. She realized she doesn't want to hurt his feelings, so she devised a very lumdisha, gemara cuff idea of how to change it without hurting his feelings. She told her husband that, you know, let me try it on for size. Let me see if it fits me. Okay. Tries it on, and her whole scheme was that she would say it doesn't fit her, because people, you know, they can make mistakes in the sizes. She would bring it back to the shop, and when she'd go back to the shop, she would tell her husband that it didn't have her size. So in the mail, she had to change the blouse for something that she liked. That was a whole lumdisha scheme, what she wanted to do, so it's to change it, not to hurt her husband. And obviously it was on the spot, you know, something she had to realize right away to do. She couldn't wait a few days. And the husband said, Gesinta, hey, go back and get your size. So she went to the shop, she wrapped it up in the original wrapping, she has the receipt, and she says, can I look for another blouse? He said, yeah, why not? Look for a blouse that suits her. And she goes to the cashier and says, okay, now I'd like to exchange it. So the cashier told her, before it's changed, I just want to tell you one little thing, the story behind this blouse. He said, your husband came here last week, and he wanted to buy you a present for your birthday. But he didn't know what to buy. And if you know the way men try and decide what to buy their wives, whether it's a kerchief, a blouse, jewelry, a tchotchke, he didn't know what to buy. He was going back and forth and back and forth. Finally, he picked up this blouse, and he said, oh, my wife will like this. And he was so happy. He says, if you don't take it back and wear it, you're going to break his heart. You just take it and wear it, you have another birthday next year, you'll get something that you like. She came home and she wore it. But the moral of the story is, you can never tell how much preparation went into something. If a wife surprises you for a birthday or an anniversary or something else, and brings home some ice cream or some pastry, and the first remark you say was a different flavor of this, it was a different type of cake, so you've already shown dissatisfaction of what she bought. You have to eat it, nothing's going to happen, so it's not your taste. It's chocolate, it's vanilla, pistachio, cherry, you don't like it so much. Nothing, you're not going to get food poisoning from it. Eat it, enjoy it, smile at her, say it's delicious, gewaldig, thank you very much, and then go on weiter. What to do future, if she keeps buying you, so that's a difference. Yes, I speak about criticizing your wife, if we ever get to that one of these times, how to deal with that. So Lamaise, it's impossible to list all the areas of Einos Devarim, every little prat to prat, how we have to be careful. But we have to follow what the Sefer Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch says that if you're in doubt, the expression do without. The Suffolk Diraisa. If you hurt somebody's feelings, you're open into the Diraisa. So if you're not sure if you're going to hurt the other person's feelings, so state in the Sefer Peliyoyet, think to yourself, would you want your wife or your friends to say that remark to you? If you don't, that means it's Einos Devarim. Some people say, well, I don't care what anybody says to me. Somebody asked me the other day, I gave this year. I'm a person that doesn't, that, you know, they don't hurt their feelings so easily. But you can't use that barometer, you know, that way of thinking. If you wouldn't want the person to say that to you, then don't say it to somebody else. It's very, very important. That's how you can think twice before you say something, because you have to know that that whatever you say can have long-term damaging effects. And the last part of Einos Devarim, which I mentioned before briefly, is the worst part, is the Malva B'nei Chaver Baravim. Ein lo chelik v'olam habosh, state in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And Chazal say that it's better to somebody to commit suicide than to embarrass somebody barabim. And embarrass somebody barabim is speaking in front to other people. Very common. You go away for Shabbos with your wife or your children, and your wife does something wrong, or the husband does something wrong, and the wife screams in the middle of the meal amongst other people, don't grab the food, don't eat this, right? Too much salt in your diet, too much cholesterol, something like that. She could be as right, but not in front of everybody. It's embarrassing the person barabim. It's playing with mamish, playing with fire. I just want to end off with a story about Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin. Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, the Rav of Brisk, came to Yerushalayim, and he had a little chabur that he used to learn with. And because of his age, he used to take tea with a lot of sugar, 3 tablespoons of sugar, a lot of sugar. He took with his tea to give him a little bit of energy. Once, when the shamish of the shir was preparing the tea, by mistake he put in salt instead of sugar. And we're not talking about a half a teaspoon, like 3 tablespoons of salt. You can imagine what it tastes like. If anybody went to the Dead Sea and they've got more, you know, the water in their mouth, they know what it feels like. So Yeshua Leib drinks it, he tastes it, he realizes what happened, he smiles, he drinks the whole thing down as if nothing happened. So anybody knows anything about food knows that salt does not dissolve like sugar. Sugar, you put it in the water, it all dissolves. Salt is always the residue. So when his wife is washing out the cup, she looked at the bottom of the cup and she had this white residue on the bottom. She didn't know what it was. So she put her finger in, she tasted it and realized it was salt. She comes running out of the kitchen into the shear room and says, Rabbi Shua Leib, what are you doing? You're trying to kill yourself at your age, taking so much salt into your body? So Rabbi Shua Leib Zuck, if Chazal say that a person should, that they should go into a fiery furnace rather than to embarrass somebody, I can certainly take 3 tablespoons of salt, garnish for chopping. And that's how he lived his life. He didn't want to embarrass somebody. And this famous story is told of Moshe Feinstein, that once he was driving in the car, and the way the Rabbanim drive is that you don't open and close the door, they go inside and somebody closes the door. But Moshe had his hand on the door, and when they closed the door, his fingers got stuck. Ouch, as they say. He got stuck in the door. And he drove like that the whole way home. He didn't say anything. When the person opened the door afterwards, he realized, what's going on? His fingers are stuck in the door. But Moshe didn't say a word. It's Rebbe, you know, how can you do such a thing? He says, how can I embarrass somebody? How can I embarrass somebody and hurt his feelings then? So that's how he went. Of course, we're not all in the level of a Moshe that if somebody slams their fingers on the door, we're going to keep quiet. Got to be a mouth to do that. But we should take an example from these cases, how careful we have to be not to hurt other people's feelings. Right. There are tapes here. The tape was here.